It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. It's Gil Alexander. Just like the man said, it is a numbers game right here at VSiN. Good morning to you. SiriusXM channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. All brought to you by BetMGM Sports Nevada. Football back at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sports book and casino action in all of Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. BetMGM. All you have to do is visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, as always. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn, producer number 7, is here as well. Good morning to you, Jason. How'd you like that basketball game last night?
It was very exciting and quite disappointing at the same time.
Why was it disappointing for you?
Well, I like the Lakers, and I would like to see them take charge, although it is going to be a better series. So from that angle, it's definitely more interesting.
Very well could be Denver 2, Lakers 1, as Jamal Murray said afterwards.
It was 20-1
yesterday. I love Lakers fans are like, oh, it's going to be a better series. Now, you should be down, Lakers fans.
We should.
Arrogant as always.
That 20-1 yesterday looks really good.
It does, for those who bet it. But MSG Plus last night on primetime action with Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, and myself, we weren't on the air for more than the first half, so we were considering in-game plays. And it was interesting with that game, the strategy being, let's wait for either of these teams to fall way behind. But when that happened, when that finally manifested, it was tough to pull the trigger for most of the first half because the line, the in-game line, was still right around 4 in favor of the Nuggets, 4.5, except for like a place like DraftKings, a public shop, where people were still pounding the Lakers. So there was a chance, if you were at a shop like that, that you could have gotten the Nuggets at like -2 for a minute. But what ended up happening with me is I sort of stayed close to the vest right before the end of the first half, when the Nuggets were still up double digits. I grabbed them money line at about -152, -153, somewhere in that pocket in a couple spots. So, you know, 10-point halftime lead. When it got down to 5 right at the beginning of the second half, remember Jamal Murray was like a 91% free throw shooter, misses 2 free throws, and the Lakers get it to 5. You're like, okay, that might not have been a good bet. But then it crescendos for the rest of the game, most of the rest of the game, up to a 20-point Nuggets lead, cut to a shot of me feeling all comfortable with that bet. And then what a furious rally from the Lakers. They go into zone. Rajon Rondo has about 25 steals in a row. It's not an actual stat. That's what I perceived it to be. It's like the Nuggets were playing at the JCC. Apologies to my local brethren. And then the Nuggets held on. It wasn't comfortable until Jamal Murray hit a step-back 3 with just over 2 minutes left to give the Nuggets a 7-point lead. And then it was kind of cruisy from there. But wow. There was a point where the Lakers did get the ball down 3, and KCP missed a 3-pointer that could have tied it at the closest the Lakers got. What a ball game. Looking forward now to game 4. We have 2 series, although I still favor the Heat. We'll talk to Dan Bespris later on the show about the NBA. Pete Futak on college football. My goodness. Notre Dame game canceled, Jason. Kansas State.
Here we go.
Yeah. Boy, if only this were predictable. College kids and playing college football? Come on. We'll talk to Futak about that. He's got some college football picks as well. Paul Spohr. We're going to play blind resume with Paul Spohr on the NL MVP award specifically. I thought I was the only one doing blind resume last night. I'm putting together all these stats for 7 different players in the National League. You could give this to 7 different players, and you really have a case for all of them. But apparently everybody's doing it with all kinds of things. And we'll talk about golf and Bryson DeChambeau. We'll look forward this week with Brady Cannon on the golf tour. And Jeff Schwartz coming up to talk NFL with us. I have some burning questions for former NFL player Jeff Schwartz. Momentarily here, he'll join us to talk National Football League with us, have questions regarding a whole bunch of different teams. Just sort of brainstorm. Stream of consciousness with Jeff Schwartz coming up. Should I start with baseball picks this morning? Is that what you'd like to do, Jason? Why don't we do that? Somebody said they liked when I gave picks out at the top of the show. By the way, I went 1-0 yesterday with our baseball pick. Jason went 2-1. Can we flash up our current records there at VSiN.com and the VSiN app? There it is. I am up 6.49 units on the young season. See, most people, when they hear that, like, 6.49 units, oh, it's not that sexy. Okay, I'll take it. 17 and 13, 6.49 units. Jason up a unit and a half now. Skill Alexander right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, where sports betting analytics live. Actionable sports betting information on this here program. Let's go to, I got two games today, Jason. One of them is the very same bet, very same game. I'm going under again. This was my play yesterday that cashed. I've done this. I've done the under now twice in this series. I'm doing it all three between the Reds and the Brewers. Today it's Hauser against Bauer. Bauer on short rest here. The total is at 8.5. I played the under 7 in the first matchup between Castillo and Woodruff in this series. That was a bad beat. It was 3-1 with 2 out in the bottom of the 8th. 3-run shot from Moustakas, then a 2-run shot down to my final out in the top of the 9th. So that was brutal. But then yesterday, pretty solid under on the 8.5. It was 3-2 final. The Brewers got back on the Reds. Betting aside, huge game for both of these franchises, which we'll get into momentarily. But 8.5 again, even with Bauer on short rest, Bauer has done the short rest thing before. And I will play the 8.5 under in that one. The other pick, St. Louis Cardinals, another team that is very much in playoff contention in the National League. Carlos Martinez getting the nod against Danny Duffy of the Royals. St. Louis about minus 127 favorite. Let's chalk it up at minus 127 for the Cardinals. And if you look, by the way, the Royals against right-handed pitching. Let me get that exact number. Royals against right-handed pitching this year have a weighted on base of 302. Only the Rockies, Tigers, Rangers, and Pirates are worse. And Danny Duffy, quick view of his Fangraphs page, 5.01 ERA, 5.06 FIP, and 5.04 XFIP. So the advanced stats corroborate the baseball card stats. That's our fade today. So under in the Brewers, Brewers and Reds game, and then the Cardinals are the play over the Royals. By the way, Jeff Passan, and we'll refer to this article a few times today, but Jeff Passan does a great sort of exhaustive piece at ESPN. I didn't see this. It was yesterday, I believe it came out, talking about all the different quirks to the schedule. We'll talk to Paul Sporer about that coming up with the baseball playoffs. Fascinating stuff. And all the tiebreaker. What he really enlightened for me was the tiebreaker procedures in baseball in case it comes to that in the National League. And right now, if you look at, well, let's do the American League first, Jason. Right now, and this changes every day, but if the playoffs were to start now, Tampa Bay's the one seed in the American League. They would take on the Jays, who are the 8th seed. These teams are pretty much all in except for, I mean, there is a scenario. Isn't it interesting that the first team to clinch an under this year in Major League Baseball in terms of their season win total, and it might have been the Red Sox to some, but it was the Angels to many were the first team to clinch their under. Do you know the Angels are still mathematically alive for a playoff berth this morning with 4 games left in their schedule? If the Blue Jays were to collapse, big if, and the Angels were to win out, the Angels could still actually make the playoffs. And they were the first team to clinch their season win total under. That is how weird this 60-game schedule is in baseball. But American League, it would be the Rays against the Jays at this point. It would be the White Sox against the Indians. Again, all this subject to change. Oakland against Houston, 3-6. Minnesota Yankees would be the 4-5. In the National League, this is where it gets nuts at this point. We do know that the Dodgers are 1, Atlanta is 2, the Cubs are 3 today. Dodgers are going to be 1. But Atlanta's 2 currently, Cubs are 3, San Diego's 4. After that, your guess is as good as mine. St. Louis at 5, Miami at 6 right now, but Cincinnati's 28-28 at 7, Milwaukee's 27-27 at 8. Tiebreaker win currently over San Francisco, who's also 27-27. How about the Giants? And then Philly losing a doubleheader yesterday to the Nats may have played themselves out of this. Mets and Rockies, sorry, I'm not going to include you in this, too high of a hill to climb. But really kind of looks like, if you take Philly out now, which I probably shouldn't do, let's keep Philly in. 10 teams vying for 8 positions. And really the bottom, it's 6 teams vying for 2. So it's going to be fascinating here in the National League. We'll get to the interesting schedule with the playoffs. We'll get to blind resume NL MVP with Paul Spohr coming up from Fangraphs. And we'll get his DFS picks for the day. Let's bring him in. Former National Football League offensive lineman. He is kind enough to join us about a month or so ago, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago. He is on the road somewhere. Let's bring him in. Jeff Schwartz, good morning to you, Jeff.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I have just random stream of consciousness questions. Thank you for doing this. All over the National Football League, I'm curious your reaction to the first couple weeks. Let's start with the Cowboys. In a couple months, will we be looking back at the miraculous Cowboys comeback from the other day against the Falcons, and onside kick recovery, of course, being the highlight of that, saying that it turned their season around, Jeff, towards a Super Bowl run? Or would you say it's more likely that they end up 9-7 or 8-8 and the flawed team that Atlanta so badly exposed? By the way, that could be enough to win the division still.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right, is that the division is so bad right now that 9-7 could very well get them a home playoff game, and then, you know, there's anything's possible. But I really do think that they're just a flawed team. I was high on the Cowboys, but their defense is atrocious. I mean, you allowed 39 points to Atlanta. I know some of those were short fields off turnovers, but you didn't play terribly well against the Rams either, and you kind of lucked into being 1-1. If you're 0-2, I know the playoff format's much different this year, but, you know, 0-2, 1990, you only make the playoffs 12% of the time. I mean, it's almost like you're basically, you know, you're DOA. So I think they're a flawed team. The thing that bothers me the most is that I thought they would be a better coach team, and it doesn't appear they're better coached. Mike McCarthy's just going for it every fourth down because he's into analytics now, which, again, I'm all for going for it on fourth down. But two fake punts, I know the first one didn't work and the guy was open. But, hey, let's run a second fake punt. It just feels like they're just poorly coached again.
Yeah, if only Jason Garrett was available. Where is he? Oh, he's with the Giants. I'm sorry, he's not available. By the way, Dallas, to buttress your point on defense, they've forced 7 punts in 8 quarters, and 4 of those were in what Atlanta might have considered garbage time. So, yeah, not good on defense. Let's go to the Chargers for a second, if we could, Jeff. Anthony Lynn, firm in declaring Tyrod Taylor his starter when he's healthy enough to play. We can argue whether that's the right decision or not. I see no reason why it would be, by the way. But when did Lynn become, and you would have some insight on this, when does a guy like that who's the coach all of a sudden also become the general manager? So in other words, if the Chargers brass decided they want to see their top draft choice, Justin Herbert, play, whose call is that ultimately? Because I get the impression that, you know, Lynn acts like he's on such firm ground, and that's amazing to me.
Yeah, this is really curious. Obviously, he doesn't seem to be very excited that drafted Herbert. I mean, just the way he talks about him. And yes, that game was not perfect, but Tyrod Taylor's not playing that well against Kansas City, right? I mean, Justin was 22 of 33 and, you know, threw a great touchdown. And I do wonder if, you know, there's some allegiance to Taylor, just knowing that he brought him into play and, you know, he wants him to be their guy, but just felt. It felt mean-spirited, what he said about Herbert. It didn't feel like, yeah, you lost the game. We know you did. But the way you talked about him just seemed like it was personal, right? It was personal to Herbert. So I'm curious whether the front office feels the same way or not. But they can't – Justin Herbert showed he belonged. Think about this. Most quarterbacks, right? Joe Burrow right now, every single day – he gets to take the reps with the ones in practice.
Yeah.
The Taylor game plan to him. Herbert took no reps with the ones all week, right? He did scout team, and then a minute before the game, it's like, okay, you're starting, buddy, against the world champion. So I think Herbert did a great job, and I don't know what Anthony Lynn's thinking, other than maybe, you know, to protect Tyrod Taylor, because it seemed a little bit suspicious kind of the way he got hurt. And what, I don't know if there's something there with wanting to play him to kind of prove that, you know, he's got it.
So that, Jeff, is exactly what the last thing about this. I did notice that yesterday. There were some reports that it was the injection that made Tyrod Taylor have that reaction. And if that's the case, then I get why Anthony Lynn is talking the way he's talking. You're right. It's a little too personal, the words he's choosing. But I get why he has to take that position, right? Because then it becomes, well, the guy can't lose his job because we injected him with some, like, right? That becomes a different layer to it.
Right. Yeah. You can't, because then obviously you kind of bring in lawyers, honestly, right?
Right. Like, if, liability.
If,
yeah.
If Tyrod Taylor's healthy and you injected him and there was a reaction to that, and now he's no longer the starter, that cost him money, right? Now, not money this season, because his salary, I assume, is guaranteed, or he's a veteran, so it's guaranteed by now, this part of the season. But just the idea of, like, advancement, right? Maybe he has incentives in his contract for playing time, and if you harm him, I could see why. But again, like, the forcefulness with Lynn is talking about Herbert, I think is really unfair. And I know Herbert's my guy. I went to Oregon. He went to Oregon. But he played really well for a rookie. So the Chargers, I think, would be wise to play Justin Herbert. But obviously, it feels like they're not going to do it.
Yeah, not only as a rookie, but a guy who learned he was going to play, you know, a minute before game time on Sunday and comported himself phenomenally well against the Super Bowl champions. If Josh Allen, let me ask you this, Jeff. If Josh Allen continues on the upward trajectory he's on, might the Bills be that sort of sneaky team that could make the AFC title game a la the Titans last year? Doesn't appear, they don't appear to me anyway to have a glaring weakness.
Yeah, look, I have been very vocal about Josh Allen and how I do not think that he is a viable option as starting quarterback. Obviously, the first 2 weeks of the year, he's made me look stupid. But, you know, let's see this weekend against the Rams, who I think actually win that game in Buffalo. And, you know, we'll see how he does against the Patriots and as the schedule gets a little bit tougher. We know the Bills, and we're going to start fast. If you look at their schedule, right, they're better than the Dolphins. They're better than the Jets. I actually thought they'd be better than the Rams. The Rams have really impressed me. If you recall, the Rams were the team I gave you as, like, the surprise.
Yes.
Team that wasn't going to be any good. It turns out that's going to be the Vikings, it appears. But I thought it was the Rams. I'm going to talk about this today on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. The Rams, and what I worried about them was their run game. And McVay has reinvented his offense. That was my concern, is that I hadn't seen in 3 years McVay change his offense. And he changed his run game. So I give him credit for that. The offensive line is playing far better than I thought. But, you know, I just need to see more from Allen after two games. I don't make sweeping judgments about teams after two games. I think it's way too early. So, let's see how he does in 4 or 5 weeks. But the NFC Championship game is Baltimore against Kansas City right now. I know they play Monday night, but that feels like those two are on a collision course.
Yeah, until further notice, I would go there. Jeff Schwartz, kind enough to be our guest this morning, at Jeff Schwartz. That's GEOFF Schwartz on Twitter. Sirius XM radio host Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You is the name of the podcast that you can download from Jeff. We're available where all podcasts are available. Looking back on how incredible it is that this Eagles nucleus beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, this team to me, you were just mentioning the Rams, so it jogs up the Eagles, who the Rams beat this past weekend. This team just seems like a wreck to me. Constant injuries, sloppy as can be. Carson Wentz literally was going to be league MVP, and then he tore his ACL, no fault of his own. And it all just seemed to unravel from there. It can't be just that Frank Reich left, right? What exactly happened? Was Doug Peterson, we praised him so, was he just the poker player that was drawing pocket aces the whole while when he was gambling and was just on this unbelievable run? They are 19-16 since that Super Bowl, including postseason games, Jeff.
Yeah.
And 8 of those 19 wins are against the Giants and the Washington football team.
I just want to be clear here. The Eagles chose the right quarterback between Foles and Wentz. This idea that Foles is some MVP, you know, throughout his entire career is just not true. We've seen him go to Jacksonville, and they're like, no, we want Gardner Minshew. Hey, he goes to Chicago. Hey, we want Trubisky. Like, Foles was not the guy either. But I think it comes down to Wentz. And your point about Frank Reich is pretty interesting, because since he left, they obviously have not been the same offense. And I do wonder if that was permanent. I think Doug Peterson deserves more credit than that. I think he is a very good coach. But Carson Wentz still makes mistakes like he's a young player. And until that gets fixed, they're not going to be fixed on offense. He does not take the easy completion. He doesn't make things easy in the offense. This is why Foles works so well in this offense, is because it is a West Coast-type offense where you do get rid of the ball quickly, and there are options very early in the snap to get the ball out. And Nick Foles will just do what the coaches told him to do, right? If this corner is slacking off, then you hit the flat. He just would do it. He'd take the 7 yards. Wentz is not very big in taking what the defense gives him, right? He very much wants to push it downfield, push it downfield, push it downfield. Nah, man, 7 yards is a good, it's a good gain. Take 7 yards on first down, right? Take 5 yards on second and three. Like, take what the defense gives you. Yes, there are shots built into the offense. You can take shots. You know, do that when it's appropriate. But he just doesn't take the easy layups, and that really is frustrating for Doug Peterson. I'm not sure it's a Peterson problem. I just think Wentz has this in him where he just can't take the easy completion.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Last thing real quick, and I only have 30 seconds here for the answer, but the Jets look significantly worse than the Jags, who we all thought were tanking. Jags playing with their hair on fire. Jets more likely to bottom out, it looks like. What if they have to decide between Darnold and Trevor Lawrence? Got 20 seconds for the answer. What's going to happen there? What do they do?
They're going to take Lawrence because they'll have a new coach, and the new coach will take a new quarterback. It's that simple.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. They will have a new coach. Jeff, thank you. We'll have you for longer next time, okay?
All right, thank you, bud.
Jeff Schwartz, everybody, former NFL offensive lineman, SiriusXM host, and the Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast. I'd like to have a podcast with that kind of name, although I'd substitute the name Jeff Schwartz in it, obviously. We'll come back. We'll talk about the passing of an NFL icon. We got to mention that. Coming back, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
How confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this weekend. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests. That right there, worth it alone. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on VSiN.com. Just visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Jason Kahn. Jason, should I read questions that I wanted to ask Jeff Schwartz but didn't have enough time to? I just have one.
Yes.
And this is more, the reason I bring this up is because this is more of a thing where, you know, we have a lot of takes here on this show and a lot of takes throughout the network. And I'd like to admit when our takes are bad too, right? So I'll raise my hand and say, I made a lot of fun of John Gruden, right? The whole Khalil Mack thing. You know, the whole Amari Cooper trade. Khalil Mack specifically, though. Like, what are you doing trading Khalil Mack? And he was a punchline. And I don't think it was just me, by the way. The narrative was that he was, you know, living in the Stone Age still and out of touch with today's game and players. Well, he's not looking so bad right now, is he? He's not looking bad.
No, and I have the under on their win total, so I was part of the... part of that misconception.
Young talent, draft picks, a new sparkling home, Allegiant Stadium, the Death Star right here on the freeway. And it's early, but is it time that a guy like Gruden gets a little more credit than just those first early impressions of him that we had? So a mea culpa, perhaps, for John Gruden.
And welcome to Las Vegas.
And welcome to Las Vegas. And welcome to Las Vegas. Would you like to come to my apartment? Maybe we can have tea. I don't know. Sad note, before we get back into some of the betting stuff, but a sad note, and this deserves to be talked about this morning. Gale Sayers has passed away. Gale Sayers, at the age of 77, the Kansas Comet, as he was known. This is a tweet from at NFL. Give me 18 inches of daylight, Gale Sayers said. That's all I need, unquote. One of the greatest to ever play the game. Rest in peace, Gale Sayers. That's via NFL throwback. Gale Sayers played a grand total of 7 NFL seasons, and in his final 2 seasons, he only played 2 games each. So think about this. He really only played 5 seasons, but then it was cut short due to injury. And in just those 5 years, he was so dominant that there's not a single soul who ever questions his place in the Hall of Fame. Despite the injury-shortened career, he had just shy of 5,000 yards, 4,956 yards, 39 touchdowns on 991 carries, averaged 5 yards per carry, first-team All-Pro each of his first 5 seasons, 4-time Pro Bowler, NFL Rookie of the Year in 65, Comeback Player of the Year in 69, after suffering a right knee injury the previous season, and obviously medicine then is not what it is today, so it's basically a career ender. Sayers was named to the 1960s All-Decade Team, the 50th Anniversary All-Time Team, the 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, and the NFL 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. Is that good?
That's impressive.
And for a generation that was too young to see him play like ours, a lot of us know about Gale Sayers from 2 things. There was a book that my older brother had on his bookshelf when we were kids, I Am Third. And when I was a little boy, and I'm talking little, like 5, I saw Brian's Song for the first time. And I think I speak on behalf of an entire generation who knew about Gale Sayers from the portrayal in Brian's Song, Billy Dee Williams, who played Gale Sayers, and James Caan, who played his running back mate, Capaletti. And the spiral of Capaletti into sickness, and that locker room speech from Billy Dee Williams. And I'm sort of getting chills talking about this because when I was 5 years old and I watched that movie, I cried uncontrollably. Uncontrollably. And I remember, by the way, my mother didn't handle that well. She's like, "What are you why are you crying? It's a movie." Right? And that was not the way a mother should react to something like that. Like, I was devastated by this. But it's like your first innate love of football, and it was through this horrible story. But that's how we learned of Gale Sayers and the greatness of Gale Sayers, how great not only of a football player he was, but what a great human being he was, a story that touched all of our hearts. Gale Sayers passing away at the age of 77, one of the all-time greats. Who's next? I don't even remember who's next, what we're talking about. But we'll talk some NBA. That's what it is. Dan Bespris coming back, talking about that game last night, and a look ahead to the Heat and Celtics. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. As many are pointing out, I botched that. I am referring to Brian's Song. That's the movie. It was Brian Piccolo, of course. I, in my brain, got the C's and the P's crossed up, and I'm thinking of Capaletti, who won the Heisman, who dedicated to his brother. That was a whole nother movie, but that's not what I'm referring to. Brian Piccolo, obviously, played by James Caan for Brian's Song. Uncontrollably crying when I was a little boy watching that. Jeff Colleandro texted me the same. He goes, I couldn't stop crying either at that age. Again, RIP Gale Sayers, age 77. Let's bring in the best audio in the business. Talk a little NBA with us. Dan Bespris from the Fantasy Today NBA podcast. How you doing, Dano?
Good morning, Gil. You know, one day we're going to have to do this from my phone and the masses will be extraordinarily disappointed.
It will be. What do you make of that game last night? We're talking about it a little earlier. That was a lot of games rolled up into one. Denver, I guess they were down real early, but then they looked great in the first half until they kind of didn't towards the end. Lakers got it within 5 early in the second half. Then the Nuggets rolled it up to 20. And then, good Lord, it's like they had never known how to play basketball. They were getting the ball stolen every possession. Lakers had all these easy buckets. Lakers actually ended up with the ball down 3, and KCP missed the 3. They had a chance to tie it at one point before Jamal Murray said, enough of this. and the Nuggets win game three. Lakers lead the series 2-1, but it could very easily be the Nuggets up 2-1. And specifically, what do you make of the fatigue factor? I thought, you know, I said yesterday, I was like, well, LeBron's minutes are limited. Man, he looked tired yesterday.
Oh, who didn't look tired in that game yesterday, though? That every single guy on the floor was bent over, hands on knees. It was actually the same exact posture I had watching the game at home. And I hadn't moved at all. I had gone nowhere in my living room, and I was exhausted. Yeah, it really was. It was a lot of games rolled up into one. I mean, yesterday we talked on this show about how the series was far from over. Game two should have been a Denver victory. So there was no way they were going to roll over. And to me, you know, most of this one was about effort. The fact that Anthony Davis only had two rebounds, I thought, told most of the story on the Lakers side. They had opportunities to get better stuff on the offensive end that they didn't take advantage of, multiple opportunities to throw lobs, and then a lot of missed shots on the Lakers side as well, many of them being open. But overall, if you're a Laker fan, and this is outside the betting realm, I think you probably wished your team got blown out in that game yesterday, because they shouldn't really have any good feelings from that ball game. They were terrible for, you know, 44 minutes, and then they were great for a few, and the Nuggets drifted off into weirdo land. Jamal Murray played 44 minutes in that ball game yesterday. He was brilliant. Jeremy Grant had the game of his life yesterday. That was one of those ones where everybody on the Nuggets played well. Most of the guys on the Lakers played relatively poorly in some respect. I know you could say Anthony Davis got his 27 points, but just sort of a lack of activity from a lot of those guys. And this is still anybody's series, like we said yesterday. It could go either way. I tend to avoid the side, although certainly with the way these games are going, I'd be hard-pressed to take a team laying points. And then I think the total is where we've done most of our work on the betting side, which is betting on what the game should be as a total, as opposed to what it is. And yesterday came out the way that we kind of expected, which was that there were a decent number of points scored and they got over the mark.
So game four tomorrow, Lakers, Denver, again, Lakers 6-point favorites, total 215. I mean, the way I'm just waiting for the in-game opportunity. I'm waiting for one of these teams to fall way behind, and then I'm betting accordingly from that point. That seems to be the best approach for me, but you're saying you will play a total here?
Well, not necessarily each game, but I thought that game yesterday, and I forgot to say it live on air, so I tweeted it right after we got off the show.
We retweeted. Yeah.
The pace of game two was much more like a game that should have been around 220 than a game that was at 208. And so the fact that the line actually was adjusted down in game three as a result of game two gave us a little bit of that buffer towards wiggling a bit towards the over. You know, this one, they'll bring the number up, and I'm betting it'll actually get bet up a little bit over the course of the next day and a half as well. So I don't know if there'll be that same little area of wiggle, more than likely in game. And there was in game opportunities yesterday as well, when the Lakers went down huge. It's almost every ball game, because someone's going to go on a run. It's inevitable in basketball. And it's like everybody's never seen it before when it happens.
It's interesting, though, when it involves the Lakers, how the in-game doesn't move nearly the way it would with another team. That wasn't as public. Well, no, that's not true. Let me rephrase that. It does formulaically, but then at some shops, the public just can't get off the Lakers, right? They just can't quit them. And so they still bet them at these unfavorable numbers in game. So it's interesting how the in-games get bet in a different way, I should say. Boston-Miami game four tonight. Miami up 2-1. It's another 3 in favor of the Celtics. It's 2-11. What are we doing here? Same strategy. Just wait for, let's say, the Heat to fall way behind, pound them. Maybe wait for the Celtics to fall behind and pound them. I really think you have to be nonpartisan, if you will, when assessing these games.
Yeah, I completely agree. In particular, on the side, you know, this series has been marked by exactly what we've been talking about, which is a team going up by 8 to 12 points, and then immediately you blink your eyes and the game is tied again. So much time off between games creates a little bit of uncertainty. I think it also gives a team like Miami an opportunity to put a few more changeups or sliders or curveballs or whatever metaphor you want to use in their bag of tricks. The total in that last game, believe it or not, at 223 is where it finished. It was actually lower than the expected outcome because the Heat shot so terribly. So I do think there may be an opportunity to look at an over here. I also think that the Heat are going to adjust and take away some of what Boston got in that last game. So I'd be a little bit careful, very small lean towards the over, but not even as strong as the one we had on Lakers Nuggets yesterday. In game is the way to go, especially after the long layoff between ball games. You really got to get a feel for how this thing is going and what Miami has in their bag of tricks that they're going to pull out here after the long layoff.
Yeah, and Celtics, see, what I mean by that nonpartisan, what do you mean? You don't have a pre-flop handicap? No, I mean, I'm on record as saying I think the Heat are the better team in crunch time, so I'm more inclined to bet them if they fall behind in game. But I do think, even Steven is the magnet here that both teams tend to come back to, if that makes any sense. So it should be fun. The bubble, to me, there was a bit of a lull here in case the Lakers had a run out against the Nuggets, but there's no lull anymore. This should be fun tonight and tomorrow as the NBA just crescendos here towards the finals. Thank you, Dan. Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Gil, as always.
Dan Bespris, also assistant GM at hoop-ball.com. We'll check your tweets coming up. Whole bunch of those is Gil. It was Piccolo. I know it was Piccolo. Still Brian's song. That was the movie I was talking about. My mistake. We'll get into some tweets. Pete Futak, college football. We'll get his picks this weekend. And just what the heck is going on throughout college football. Coming back, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
September is showtime at BetMGM Sports, and they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Heat Celtics game tonight. And if either team hits a three, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Heat Celtics game. And if either team hits a three, you win. Just visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Always appreciate the tweets. This is from Johnny Ringo. Any chance of a Sweet Lou sighting? I can't forget about the sports that got us through those dark times. He's referring to Lou Finicaro through the pandemic. We'll try to get Lou back on the show. Of course we will. Mark Wilson at Mark Wilson Radio. This is from across the pond. Oh, come on, guys. Only one question remains from the week three guessing lines. How much is a bunch? Chrissy Andrews refusing to reveal, but he said that that 1 yard that Cam didn't get, that 1.5 yards that Cam didn't get at the end of the Seahawks game, the biggest 1 yard stomach punch in his career as a bookmaker, mentioned that on Monday. Most of these are correcting me and correctly so, because of course I botched the Gale Sayers thing by the Brian Song thing by saying it was Cappelletti, not Piccolo. Got that crossed in my brain, but I'm referring to Brian Piccolo from Brian Song. If we could find the Brian Song music, it would probably take two measures of that theme song to make me weep openly on air. Just the music itself. So if you just want to see a grown man cry, we'll play that later. This is Man Bear Puig 1. No chance of Denver winning this series. Denver in the finals would be a disaster for the NBA. They will rig this series if they need to. I wish I could bet on getting the rigged Denver Lakers series tweet. Not making fun of it. I'm just saying I knew that tweet was going to come at some point. Some people believe that. J-Rod, would like to hear how your father reacted to you watching and crying for Brian Song. Was probably good. I don't think my father let my mother handle it. I think she's got it under control. Poor boy's crying. Let him cry. All right. And then most of these are this. And here's one from Al R. Al R. saying, I was lucky enough to see Sayers play. I was at the game. He scored 6 touchdowns versus the Niners. 6 touchdowns versus the Niners. the great Gale Sayers, again, passing away at the age of 77. Okay, let's talk some college football, or at least we'll get to the picks here momentarily. It's Pete Futak, everybody, from College Football News. How you doing, Pete?
I live in Chicago. I work in Chicago radio. I know all the people who know Gale Sayers and everything. I've never seen Brian's song.
Oh, listen, set aside some time. Get the tissues.
I've never seen it, for whatever reason, I know how it ends. I know how it goes.
Right.
Plus, if I see a movie with James Caan, then I'm going to want to watch The Godfather, and then I'm going to be sucked in for like 6 hours of Godfather movies.
You'll go down a James Caan rabbit hole if you start watching that.
And then I'll watch Misery, and it could be completely screwed up. So, yeah, I agree. By the way, you talk about the Cam Newton one-yard gut punch. How is the Joe Burrow gut punch not the all-timer on Thursday night of last week? Those on one side or the other with that Cleveland-Cincinnati game. That in my weird little world of people, that was the one that I that is as all-timer as it gets, considering what it took to get there.
Well, I mean, that was a swing, obviously, like any backdoor cover would be, but it wasn't nearly as heavily bet on that Thursday night, you know, game between the Browns and Bengals as a Sunday night, you know, end of football day chase and a marquee matchup game at that on a Sunday night. So it was a massively bet game to begin with.
And interesting too, to switch it to college, like it's so amazing how much fun these NFL games are, because the scoring's crazy. I mean, it was the craziest. I mean, you've got all these quarterbacks rushing for touchdowns if you're in a fantasy world. I mean, all these games are just fast and interesting, and the college game just isn't there yet. And that's what I'm hoping for this week with the SEC, because so far, college football's been a little rough.
Notre Dame, Wake Forest postponed. Outbreak of COVID on Notre Dame's side. Kansas State, good Lord. Kansas State didn't have 40 players in their first game. They got about 12 back that were better news, and then they got 10 more positives. Are they really playing Oklahoma this weekend? Is that really happening?
They say they do, and then they don't. And it kind of stinks. I mean, this is not, it's almost like you have to treat this like an injury report, but it's so much bigger than that.
Right.
It just kind of, it feels so, the only word I could use is icky.
It's dirty. It feels dirty. I agree.
It feels kind of like icky because you don't want to put wins and losses and point spreads in terms of, you know, oh, do these guys have a, you know, global pandemic-esque disease here?
But that's it. I'm sorry, people can say whatever they want. I'll let the hate wash over me. But there is something that doesn't feel right about saying, yeah, all these COVID outbreaks, these kids are going to test positive. Maybe they'll take it back to their family. God help us. There's all these deaths. So would you take the 28 or would you lay this? You know, like, I just don't think that that's a proper sentence, but that's where we are.
Exactly. Then that's part of it. And that's, you know, look, you have to almost say that the, with the caveat of, I feel, but then you have the opposite, the weirder side of this, where last week, forgive me for completely spacing who they played. I think it was Southern Miss. Louisiana Tech had a whole slew of players out. They missed a couple weeks because of COVID. They had a depleted team, and it's like, yeah, they're going to miss more players. And they came back, and they definitely covered. They might have even won. I'm blanking, but that was like the one team. So every once in a while, I mean, you think, yeah, this team just isn't going to have it. Well, sometimes those next men up, who, you know, are maybe aren't the starters, they're going to come up and they're going to give a sort of different sort of effort. And hey, that's kind of part of it. And that's why everyone's going crazy trying to figure out how to handicap these games to start the college season, because they're all so insane.
Yeah, I mean, look, for those landing on this show and on this network for the first time, just know that this is just the lens through which we look at sports, and so you'll have to forgive us for talking, because I think assessing COVID is the number one, like, handicapping thing of the year. By the way, as many reports will be true as false, and it doesn't even necessarily mean that the true ones will manifest in the handicap the way that you think they are. So it's all one big mess.
And the crazier part is you don't know, because colleges aren't necessarily reporting that. Now, they're not saying they're hiding anything under the rug. They're just not telling the other team how many guys and who has it.
All right.
If they have it.
Pete, I don't want to interrupt you, but at the same time, we only have a few minutes, so I want to get to your picks, because the SEC is coming to the rescue, so to speak, this week, right? Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, Ole Miss, that's 14.5. Kentucky, Auburn is a 7-point spread, 7.5 in favor. favor of Auburn. Alabama, of course, back in action. Everybody's betting Alabama. Arkansas, Georgia, that's 25.5. By the way, the Alabama spread is 27. So not necessarily competitive games, but, the point spread, the great equalizer. A&M, 30.5 over Vanderbilt. You betting any of those, or where are you gravitating towards?
I mean, how do you not kind of read the room of the first start of the season and say, okay, how do you not just instinctively go underdog? I mean, yes, of course you want to go Alabama, minus a million, or Georgia obviously seems easy. But look at what's happening. All these games so far have been the underdogs have been at least able to hang in there. So, but this is a different animal. And Clemson's been the outlier so far, is that they're just so much better that they're destroying teams and not having a problem. And so maybe that's the way we have to view Alabama to start the season and Georgia. But wow, I mean, how do you not look at Missouri and say, okay, new team, new offense, they might be able to hang around a little bit. They've got enough experience in place there. Certainly LSU, how do you figure that team out with everybody being replaced? I kind of like going against LSU in this.
16.5 against Mississippi State in that one. I left that one out. Yep.
On the road, for whatever that means, against the Mike Leach offense, which is going to at least be winging the ball all over the yard. So this is going to be – we're guessing here. We're flying blind. But I kind of like Mississippi State getting the points there. And, yeah, I'm going to just go Auburn and Georgia on the same – I'm sorry, Alabama and Georgia just on the same reason that, you know what, some teams are just that good.
Okay, so Alabama, Georgia, you are taking the dog with Mississippi State. I believe you mentioned you have an interest in this Army game.
If that's the Army team that we're seeing so far, how do you not at least like 14 points there? I know everyone loves Cincinnati, but this is not a wing it all over the yard type of Cincinnati team. They're not going to come out and do anything crazy. They're going to try to grind it out. And Army, they've been flawless so far. Granted, the competition hasn't been anything spectacular, but the system's working. They've had two games where they've been nearly perfect. Unlike Navy, they're tackling so far. So I kind of like Army to either win outright or at least cover that 14.
Army, your best bet above all those SEC games, would you say?
Yeah, SEC, we're guessing. I mean, we just don't know anything yet. And at the very least, we've got a couple games of Army under to have seen so far. And again, they've been perfect. They've been great. Everything that they've got is clicking. And it seems like 2 years ago, it seems like more 2018 than 2019, where sometimes that system works, sometimes it just kind of doesn't. And this year, it's been working great so far. So if you're going to give me that Army for the first two games and 14 points, I'll take my cuts there.
Pete Futak from College Football News, at Pete Futak on Twitter, FIUTAK. And as much as I, as much as the COVID talk is relevant, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that I was excited to see these SEC teams in action this weekend. Right at the same time, my sports brain and my betting brain is excited about it. So,
hey, if they're going to play, it's not up to us.
Right.
They're going to play, so we might as well enjoy the SEC games. And now is when it happens. SEC's happening, Big Ten's coming up. Now we get college football really back.
Yep. Looking forward to it. Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. Thank you, Peter. Drive safely.
There you go.
Sounds like it airplanes approaching from every side there during that call. Paul Spohr from Fangraphs is next. This is going to be fun. We'll do a little blind resume on the NL MVP. How do you possibly choose an NL MVP winner with everybody having tickets all across the board? Seven guys could win this. We'll do that and go over Jeff Passan's tremendous article. What a playoff schedule we're about to have. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.